Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still. A whole thought in my head.
Where would we be without football?
Doug, tell us the three keys to winning football in the National Football League or in college or high school.
Three keys, and these may be the three keys of life. Run the football. Yes, stop the man with the skin of the pig. And finally, pressure the quarterback.
Oh. Guys, we are getting news here right now. The Bears are finalizing a deal to hire Ben Johnson as their head coach.
Let's go.
Per sources.
That is an incredible bit of news from Tom Pelissero.
It is happening.
The lateral for the touchdown, and Ben Johnson loving every second of it as Williams has his second of the night. You know, when they run these plays, they work.
We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost.
Williams in, rhythm again. There's Zacchaeus, and Olamide Zacchaeus takes it to the end zone for the Bears' touchdown.
I guess the Ben Johnson effect, right?
They're buying into you, right? That's the message. They're buying into you, buy back into them.
The Bears are back, baby.
It's not a fun sport, but what you come to love is the struggle of it. I love football. Love it, love it.
And you got to love football, man. It's like
listen to this crowd.
Hope is alive in Chicago.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
Yeah, football's a great, great holiday. About family, friends, good food, and football. How can it get any better than that?
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
It's football, mister.
The official adventures of...
And now, live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, it's time for the Spiegel & Holmes Football Kickoff Broadcast. Brought to you by PNC Bank, your local Ford dealers, and Blue Cross Blue Shield through it all.
Welcome, welcome, welcome! It is the Spiegel & Holmes Show. We are broadcasting live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. This is great. We got a bunch of happy people in the room. I'm glad it is just week one. And not like week 14 from last year. That would have been bad. The whole crew is here. Connor is back there. Rich Wyatt is keeping us on the air. Tanny is secluded in a studio because we have to protect him like he's a president. Alex Kuhn is here with us. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. Look at these people, man. We are hanging. This is tremendous. We love a live crowd. Alex Kuhn is available, unlike the president. If you really need to talk to somebody about anything presidential, you talk to Alex, and he'll get it to
Tanny. Yeah, he'll get it to Tanny. Yeah. We have to save Tanny at all costs.
Does that make me the Secret Service?
Basically, pretty much. Yes, that's kind of what you're doing.
You're a one-man Secret Service.
It's a kickoff show today.
I don't
today,
feel real protected now.
Yes.
He's the Secret Service.
He's that guy.
No.
You see him. He looks like it.
Tell people who that voice is, Lawrence. My goodness.
The voice that you hear right there is already in a bunch of Hall of Fames and should be in another one. You know him. You love him. Number 57, Olin Krutz.
Man.
Happy to be here.
Olin gives us football legitimacy, Bears legitimacy, offensive line legitimacy. And I'll go ahead and say it. It'll be the first time I say it. Center position legitimacy. You know what I mean? Like my career is well known.
Yes.
It's well known. But Olin played at a higher level in more important situations than my 4 years with the Mighty Sequoias.
Yeah.
I think.
He actually has talked about how
a lot. I've heard this story.
But I'm giving it to you. I'm conceding right now.
It reminds me of like at home, I'll start talking and my 13-year-old daughter Abby will be like, we know, Dad, you're the greatest center of all time. You did everything. You played for the Bears. And it's amazing, though. She'll say verbatim what I've said, which probably means I've said it too much.
No, not at all. But they listen. That's a good thing.
Well, and that's what home is supposed to do. I remember one night after a rock show with the band, right? I'm like making the bed for my mother-in-law who's sleeping over. And I say to my wife, you think Mick Jagger's making a bed right now? And she's like, I think Mick Jagger makes a little more and hires people to make a bed. I'm like, all right, good call.
It's actually an excellent point.
It really is.
It's great to have Olin here as we kick off the season. Game start tonight. We will carry
Thursday night football. It's going to be awesome because the Cubs are off today. So we've got Thursday night football. There's also Friday night football. There'll be college football on Saturday, Sunday, and then the dessert. Then Monday night, it is Vikings at Bears. And we get to see what Ben Johnson is all about. Olin, let's start with, let's go all the way back because we have a group of people here that may not have heard you when the hire happened. There's obviously the person in their car or at their desk that wants to talk Bears. When Ben Johnson was hired, what did you think it signified?
It signified that the hottest candidate wanted to come coach the Chicago Bears, which there was some worry about, right? There was some worry that he was not interested in the Chicago Bears because of their history with their franchise and the things they go through. And to be fair, we haven't won a lot around here lately, right? And people are worried about coming here. And a lot of coaches have come here and they've been geniuses and they've left idiots, right? The building has done that to a lot of guys. So people are worried about that, right? When you come here, and I had some insight into talking to some guys who knew him, and they were a little worried about that. And that was just early on in the process. And then all of a sudden, he came up, he took the job. Now, $13 million a year helps, right? I mean, the money helps to come here and try to change the path that we've been on with quarterbacks and offense and getting things going in the right direction. And I've said many times on these radio waves that the last time we won a playoff game, I was playing. And I'm old, right? I 401k is coming for me right around the corner. And, you know, my son just graduated college. So they got to start winning football games up there at Halas Hall. I'm always interested, Lawrence and Spiegs, when people say to me, man, why do you sound like you doubt the Bears so much? And I just print up the 10-year history, the last 10 years of their records. And I say, well, why do you trust them so much, right? So to have a guy like him, who you guys know, he wasn't taking certain jobs. He was going through a very thorough process of checking on what was in the building, who he wanted to coach, and who he wanted to be, and where he thought he could win. And just him picking the Chicago Bears meant to me that what he saw, who knows what he saw, he liked. And that's positive.
I'm really glad that you brought it to that level right away, because that's a reminder of the realities. And you mentioned talking to people who knew him. And as that process went on, those people that knew him, and eventually we heard it from him, were way more impressed than they expected to be. Because like all these years that we've been talking Bears, when you were playing, before you were playing, here on the score for 30 plus years, and in the last 5 or 10, go higher. What about the front office? Go higher. What about ownership? They don't want a strong coach, all that. It seems like Kevin Warren convinced ownership to get the man as the coach and let him be the face of it. And that's a big deal, isn't it?
Huge, huge. And it's well said by you. And Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, this is the new leadership at Halas Hall, right? And whatever Ben Johnson saw from them, he liked in the direction they were moving in. And they re-signed Ryan Poles to a contract to marry him to Ben Johnson. And some of that is like, wow, man, you don't got to do much to get a new contract at Halas Hall. It's your first reaction, right? It's your first, like, but you go out and you get, you know, Caleb Williams, who people say is a generational quarterback. He's the number one pick. You signed the hottest coaching candidate in the NFL. Everybody wanted Ben Johnson, right? And when you watch him schematically on film, for a guy like me, watch him call plays, watch him do matchups, watch him attack people, you know what? He's really, really good at getting his offense to do the things it has to do to score points and attack defenses. He's really good at that.
Have you seen some stuff in camp that lets you know, staying in the big picture, that it's Ben's show? That it's Ben, you know, kind of in charge of things, whether that's personnel or the way things are run, that he's as empowered as a coach needs to be?
Yeah. Well, first of all, a new coach is always empowered in the building, right? They have to start to transition to what he believes in, the kind of players that he wants, right? And who he wants to coach and who he wants in the building to move in the direction that he wants to go in. So obviously, early on, it is Ben Johnson's show. Now, him and Ryan Poles have to work together. Kevin Warren's a part of it. As you guys know, buildings win championships, right? Like, everyone's always turning over the same spots, right? The head coach, the players. Eventually, the building there has to win championships, and it starts and hopefully grows from Ben Johnson's leadership.
You gave us a bar when you talked about the farther away you are from the football, the farther away you are from football. And it's seared into our minds, and it's changed the way that we think
about the game. The farther you get away from the...
Do it, Tanny.
The farther you get away from the football, the farther you get away from football.
All he did was take out a the. Well, he just took out an article.
It's pretty great.
What's that? That's a Washington education right there.
So I think about that a lot when, and Olin has opened up my mind to think more about the offensive line when it comes to football, which is great because we should. That's where the game's won and lost. So now you have a lot of money being paid guard to guard, which is great. They needed to upgrade those spots. We all like Darnell Wright. Solid. They're walking in the left tackle and walking to the season with the left tackle position just being figured out yesterday. How do you feel about what they did at that position, and what does it mean that you then drafted someone in what, the 54th pick or whatever Ozzie Trapillo was, to be a swing tackle? That's a strange allocation of assets that you got going on there.
Yeah, and it started with Ryan Pose and the general manager, Ian Cunningham, the assistant general manager, right? And their scouting department, as you guys have known, anybody who listens to me on the airwaves, and I've been speaking in homes here, I have a lot of questions. And the way they designed the O-line and who they decided to pick. And they did throw a lot of money. Dahlman, you know, they gave the number one center in free agency, Dahlman, some money. They signed Joe. They trade for Joe Tooney. They signed Jonah Jackson, right? They drafted Darnell Wright. There is a lot of assets there in the offensive line, right? And then on the other side, Javon Dexter, Grady Jackson, Billings, Montez Sweat. But so it's just there's a lot of guys to draft, right? There was Ursary out of Minnesota there the year before. They took Romo Dunze instead of Olu Fashanu. I would have took – obviously, I'm an O-liner. I would have took one, the left tackle, right? I always want to build my left tackle. If you watch the Eagles, if you watch them play, if you see the way they design their team, it's like they're waiting for a street fight to break out, and they just ask themselves, will we win the street fight? And they would, right? And they take O-linemen and D-linemen year after year, and they stack those positions because you're going to need those guys late in the year to win. And you know, Braxton Jones is a question mark. I will say this. If you have the number one pick in the draft, if you have a head coach making $13 million, if the inside of your offensive line is making all that money, if you drafted a receiver in the first round, if you gave DJ more money, if you drafted Luther Burden, if you drafted Coastin Loveland, a tight end, and drafted Cole Kmet in the second round, if it doesn't work, it's not Braxton Jones' fault. Those guys are not making them better. Let me give you an example. On Twitter, everybody talked about the one play where Braxton Jones let the linebacker blitz. He didn't slide in and pick him up. That is his guy. It's called a dual protection. He has two guys. He takes the most dangerous of the two guys. So it's a five-man to slide away from him. First of all, I wouldn't slide away from Braxton Jones with all the money. I slide to him. First, here's what you can do. And I saw even the old Bear quarterback Chase Daniels posted, if you want to go on Twitter, he posted and talked about how it should have been a touchdown, but Braxton didn't do his job. The great quarterbacks walk up and say, Braxton, that guy's coming. Make sure your eyes are on him. Because why? I'm the number one pick in the draft. I have to make the guy making $500,000 a year better. I have to make him better. I know that. If I see that he has the hardest job on the offense at that moment, it is in my job to make him a better football player. I have to walk up and say, look, we're signing the line. You have those two guys. It looks to me like he's coming. Take him first. I'll negotiate in the end.
I can't imagine Caleb being ready to do that.
I can't. He's in second year.
You think so?
Yeah, he's got Ben Johnson, right? He's got all these assets there.
Okay, but let's
all these guys. He finally got someone. From what I heard, someone had to teach him how to watch film, right? That's what I heard last year. So I don't know. Like as from a football guy, there's still some things I hear. I get confused, right? I just when I'm watching, okay, yes, that is Braxton's job. If I'm the center in that position, I lean over. I say, Braxton, make sure you're watching that guy, right? Like that guy looks like he's coming to me. And he needs a silent count. It's Kansas City Chiefs. It's a tough game.
Well, that's interesting. So Olin says he ought to be ready to do that. That leads well into this little bit of tape that we wanted to play for you. This is from Drew Dahlman, the news center, when asked earlier in the week about his relationship with Caleb, who's going to be helping who, how they're going to work together on identifying certain things maybe in the pass rush. Here's a little Q&A with Drew Dahlman.
Drew, since you got here, there's been kind of talk of how you could take some things off Caleb's plate to help him play faster. What are some of those things that you think you've been able to kind of alleviate that's going to allow him to be at an optimal level?
Yeah, I think it's without getting into any kind of scheme specifics or anything like that. we've done a really good job of communicating with each other and letting each other know like what's helpful, what's not helpful, what kind of things he really likes to hear from me and what things we need to hear from him. And so that stuff has been really good, kind of learning the flow of information at the line of scrimmage. And then just the offense as a whole runs really well when all of us are communicating. And so that's been a focus, is like the O-line relaying everything we need to know, and then the quarterback relaying back and all that. So I feel like that's been really improving, and it's been good.
So he doesn't want to give it up. And there's another part of it where he's like, I don't want to talk about that because it's too much scheme. So I kind of like that he's protecting his quarterback and protecting the relationship. But what do you hear when you hear a guy not want to give it up and saying it's the whole offensive line's job, that kind of thing?
Yeah, he's actually saying what we just talked about, right? He's saying, what do we need from you there? I'm in silent cadence. I cannot help the left tackle, right? If the quarterback's inside, when the offensive line is like – people have to understand, when you're on the road and it's silent count, a lot of the stuff, the communication goes out the window. Hmm. The quarterback is basically in charge. He's the only guy who can change protections, see things, let everyone know what might be coming, what might not be coming. I was just watching, Ben Johnson and the Lions averaged 31 points, right, against the Vikings last year. So watching how did they get that done? Jared Goff's doing a lot of that. He's doing a lot of redirections, taking a lot of hits, getting the ball out. He's doing a nice job negotiating Flores, who... he guy's insane with the stuff he brings. But what you hear there is, what do we need from Caleb? That may be something we need, right? Like just – and Caleb, that's what preseason is for. You learn that. Hmm. In that moment, hey, man, remember, five-man protection. By five-man protection, I mean everyone else is out in routes. There's only five guys blocking, right? The offensive line is the only guys who have blocking responsibilities. So the running back is not going to block the linebacker. So now the backside tackle mostly – in a bubble, that I won't go too far, but he has two guys. You know that as a quarterback. If you think that linebacker's coming, walk up and tell him. Your number one job is to protect yourself. That's your number one job. You can blame the fifth round pick tackle if you want, right? You can do that. That's up to people. But I always live by this: who much is given, much is expected, right? And just like in any business, right? Like. In Odyssey, Mitch Rosen probably makes a good amount of money.
He does.
Yeah, a lot is expected.
How much, Mitch? This is a good time to announce it.
Playing the hits.
a lot is expected. And he's got to do a lot, right? He's got to get up early in the morning, get all the shows organized, and make sure everyone's doing what they got to do. Same thing in a football building, right? Like that's what they're talking about. That's what Dalman is talking about. What do we need from him? And Caleb's telling Dalman, this is what I need from you, right? But now you got here's another thing that you could throw in there. Joe Tooney's not playing that game. Joe may tell him. Right now you got another guy there who much is given, much is expected, right? And he knows blitz is coming, he knows his tackle's got a dual responsibility. He may tell him. See, a lot of guys on that field now who are paid a lot and have a lot to do, and you got a coach who is a lot is expected of.
Whenever I hear people talk about Caleb, and I mentioned the idea of, man, I would love it if he could play like Jared Goff, people get mad at me, Olin. They're like, well, he's better. And I was like, well, hold on. Like, Jared Goff was also a one of one. Like, he was the number one pick overall as well. And you look at his production, especially with Ben Johnson, even though I think Caleb might be a little bit more athletically gifted, I know that Jared Goff can run an offense and kind of do what he's asked to do. Mm-hmm. How long should it take for a guy like Caleb, who is in his college career, going all the way back to high school, was probably the best player on the field. Then in college, he had to do a lot of hero stuff because he was the best player on his team. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to get someone who succeeded doing it that way to be like, hey, when you get to the top of the drop, ball needs to come out? Right. How difficult is that to get a quarterback to understand?
He's got great arm talent, right? And he is an amazing athlete. And the way he can throw the ball around the field is, he's second to none. I mean, he gets the thing is amazing what he does. How hard is it to get someone to run an NFL offense, see everything they need to see, make every round them better, give the tips, get everything going? Obviously, we've all seen over the years, it's extraordinarily hard, right? It's extraordinarily hard to do. Even in the NFL right now, how many guys would you say can do it? Right, like it's like, are you
nine?
Yeah.
14
at the most. At the most.
I was
right?
gonna say six.
Yeah, at the maybe. Most. Yeah,
I'll go back to nine.
Just
fight
really,
for nine.
Really tough. Being a quarterback in the NFL is a really hard job, right? So, but can he do it? How long should we expect the way he looked? I'm going to watch him this year with Ben Johnson as his coach. We all heard it was all Eberflus's fault last year, from what I understand. That's all I hear about. So I'm always interested when there's a million millionaires in the building. They all point to one guy.
He was pretty bad, though.
That's what you hear, right? You weren't in the building, right? That's what we hear from
people in the building.
People in the building. The people who are all still kept in the their building. Job. By throwing him nicely under the bus, right? So it's fine. It's just always fascinating to me when it's like all 30 millionaires over here and everybody's like, it was his fault.
You're saying we bought it?
Yeah,
we
listen, too much? I couldn't do my job because of him. I just don't like I Lawrence, I'm going to do my job.
Now we're back to Mitch
No Rosen. Matter what, right? So it's going to be interesting as we go here with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and Declan Doyle and all the guys they have in that building to help him develop, help him process information, surrounded him with the right people to help him learn how to be a pro. I go through, when I got here, my idea of football was just to hit anybody I could hit, just attack everybody all day long, and just eventually that would win me a job. I like to say violence is a skill, right? And I think that people who are violent, they naturally violent. You can see it on film, and eventually that pops to a coach, right? Like they want to see that violence. But I was competing with a very good center, Casey Wigman, and I think people a long time ago might have remembered. He played a long time in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey would not make a mistake. He wouldn't. He wouldn't mentally make a mistake. Every time I stood up to leave the room, he was studying his book. So I sat my ass down and studied my book. To beat him out, I had to learn how to not make mistakes, make the right calls, do the right things on a football field. And I heard Mark Sanchez the other day said that when he first got in the league, Rich Gannon was watching film with him and said, what do you see on this film? And Mark was like, the defense. And he started going through everything you're supposed to be watching on the film. Right. So people blame Coach Eberflus and Waldron for the whole film story. I blame the plan. Where is the veteran who has to help him learn how to watch film?
Well, that's it. You talk about Sanchez. That's what Lawrence was calling for the whole season and the offseason. And now here's Case Keenum. So
right.
Somebody did teach Mark Sanchez how to watch film.
That's what
film.
I'm saying. So it's a whole group of people saying, okay, look, this is how you play quarterback, right? We don't snap the ball late on a jet sweep in the preseason, right? We have to learn how to snap that ball from under center. It's a tough thing to learn when you didn't do a lot of it like you're talking about. So I'm waiting to like midseason this year and see if he's controlling the line of scrimmage, doing the things he's got to do. If you watch just from – I mean, I think we'll see very similar game plans this week with Minnesota and the Bears. With J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams.
Hmm.
And we'll see outside zone, and we see boots, and we'll see layered concepts, and we'll see them tackling one side of the field, and both teams trying to protect their quarterback and give them easy reads.
All right, we got more. That is like, that's an education. Like, that last 15 minutes was just an absolute education from Olin Krutz, and we got more.
Chat GPT.
Just type in what you need, and Olin's got more the
most
Olin.
Of the podcasts I listen to, I swear, they're just chat GPT.
You might be right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just giving you stats. Like I was listening to a podcast the other day. I'm not going to say which one.
I'll go ahead, man.
No, I won't. I won't do it.
All right. It was take the
I was doing my research, but... I was like, gosh, like they could just get ChatGPT to do what this guy is doing, right? Just numbers and anyway.
So look, we're going to ask Olin some more questions because he knows what he's talking about after a quick timeout.
I want to know how his life is changing with the return of these island games tonight. And we're here kind of celebrating the league as a whole as well.
It's pretty wild. We are at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. We are brought to you by PNC Bank and your local Ford dealers. We have a great crowd here that's just hanging on every word. And we've got you until 6 o'clock. Dave Wansett joins us at 5. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show here on The Score.
We're back live with more of the Spiegel and Holmes football kickoff broadcast. Live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Brought to you by PNC Bank, your local Ford dealers. And Blue Cross Blue Shield through it all.
Just a couple of centers.
Thank you.
Talking technique and...
I mean, that was happening. My technique was being dissected by Olin Krutz, and I'm not going to say how I did.
It was something. Hopefully never see it again.
I mean, look, Lawrence, Let's do some of that. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show.
Some things you can't unsee. You know what I mean?
Like, it wasn't that bad.
You can't show it to me again.
All right. You tell us. Hold on.
Let's see it. Okay. You already got this on film?
Yeah, now this is on video. This is going to live forever.
Break it down, though. Break it down. Here's my set.
Oh, don't. See, that's terrible, man. You gotta have the Z in the knees, right? I'll bring your feet in a little bit. You gotta have a little better posture. I mean, you look like a camel. You have a hump in your back. We gotta get the hump out of your back. We gotta work on your spine extension, you know, of your lumbar and your, you know, mid back.
Are you about to show us your bucket step, too? Yeah. Is that happening?
So just watch this stuff behind you.
Yeah, really?
I don't know the insurance. Oh, wow. Okay, your hands can't be out there. You gotta be armless from the back. So turn so the crowd can see you. Turn back that way. Turn. Say, don't do that. Please, no one teach your kids to block like that. Turn this way. Turn this way. Okay, now get your elbows so tight they can't even see your arms. There. Yeah, no. Just turn your palms up, knuckles up. There you go. Perfect, man. Yeah, and we just hope no one comes.
Wait a minute. So who would get by me? Everybody?
Nobody. If no one came, nobody.
Our best moment, though, Lawrence, was talking about the play calling on the Mighty Sequoias back in the day. I was telling him about the inside reverse that we used to run we'd fake a halfback sweep, and instead quarterback would hand the ball to the slot receiver coming back the other direction with a guard pulling in front of him. And what'd you say? What is that?
That's Pop Warner's old single wing inside counter, man. That play's undefeated.
It used to destroy in our flag football league.
Yeah. Called that 43 counter when Little League at St. Mary's with my kids. No one could stop it.
You can't stop it.
You low power one side the whole time, man. And then you run counter. And the whole time, I wait for them. The coaches on the other side are yelling, watch the reverse. And as soon as they stop, then I run it.
So
as long as they yell, watch the reverse, then I run power.
So I think we've established that I might not be the best center on the air staff. I think Olin has that. But am I the best offensive coordinator on the air staff? I got one play. That was it.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, you know, you're better than Danny Parkin, so there it is.
Please make this personal.
Okay. All right. Olin's here. We're going to have him here for another segment after this one, which is great. We also have our lineup of people that we are going to have on the show. I don't know if Olin even knows some of the stuff that we're going to do this year.
Olin, you're on with us on Fridays at 4:00, man.
Yep.
So thank you.
Yes.
I mean, that's always a highlight for us. We gather stuff all during the week. They were like, oh, man, we got to remember to ask Olin about this on Friday.
Well, usually it's often I will shoot a text to Olin on a Monday and be like, hey, did you hear the Kurt Warner segment? I'd love to get your thoughts on what it is that we heard. Kurt is going to be back with us. He will be back Mondays at 3:00. And in fact, he's going to join us this Monday. Like, ordinarily, Kurt is on after the game, but he's actually calling the Bears game on Monday, and he's like, yeah, I'll call you guys on Monday afternoon. So we're going to talk with Kurt.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
And he will be. He will be, Kevin Harlan. We were going with Mark Grody on Mondays, but now Grody's going to be part of the midday show.
That is correct.
So your pal, who has become a good friend of the show and a tremendous Bears reporter for the Sun-Times,
Jason Leisure, is going to join us.
I heard the beginning of your show today when Matt was talking about the frustrations over the dishwasher, and that's my kind of sports radio right there. But no, what did you guys talk about in the last segment?
Also on Mondays, it's a Monday staple at 5:00. It's Jalen Johnson.
At the end of the day, honestly, I don't really give a damn. At some point, enough is enough.
Playing this week?
We don't
know. Good question.
He did participate in practice, but I think it would be weird if he played, considering he didn't really have a camp.
Yeah, the groin is a tough injury, man.
It is, very much so. This is. Should we save that one? The next one for last, or should we go down? We should go down the list, right? Because that's what we told Tanny we were going to do.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well why start now?
Sorry, Tanny.
The president has spoken.
That's right. This is a big deal. On Tuesdays, we figured we needed a little bit more offensive firepower, so we have added it. Olin, it's a guy that you know very well. 3 o'clock on Tuesdays, Matt Forte.
Touchdown Bears! Matt Forte, 32 yards of excellence.
You said Forte was good on the TV show, right?
Yeah.
And it's a good relationship with Lawrence. I'm excited to have Matt Forte every week to talk offense with us.
I think that guy is so undervalued, and it's because, you know, I dealt with him in the locker room, and then we were all doing the show together. Some of the stuff he would say, I'd be like, I'm not hearing that anywhere else. Yeah. So we're going to have Matt Forte with us every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. We're calling our Tuesdays Pro Day because 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, Matt Bowen.
Matt Bowen, man from Glen Ellyn, Illinois, being very active.
Is Glen Ellyn very active or is Matt Bowen very active?
Both. He was very active.
Both can be true.
Lawrence, back when you and I did, 5-6 months together?
Yes.
On a different show at a different slot?
The show.
What was it?
Was it McNeil. And
was it Mac and Spiegs? But then we did Spiegel and Holmes, right?
I think it was...
Manly and Spiegs?
It might
Parkins
have been.
And Spiegs. Holmes and Spiegs.
Keep going.
And Spiegs. Now I feel left out.
You're here.
Croots and Speaks. Yeah. I think it was the match. Weren't you the show?
I don't
match
remember.
Show? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But we had Matt Bowen on. You called it the film room. Mm-hmm. And that was really exciting. And now we get to have Bowen back as our guy.
I remember people being like, why are you guys talking about like X's and O's and like breaking down film with Matt Bowen? Mm-hmm. And that was, what year was that? Like 2018?
No. 17?
Like, no, before 14? That.
I don't know.
And no one knows it better, though.
Matt Bowen is great.
No one knows it better than Matt Bowen.
But the idea of talking about that stuff on the radio, and now that's what everyone does. Yep.
Wednesdays are going to be a day where we will turn the page, and we will also get our first crack with Mark Grody, who will be up at Hallis Hall.
I asked Nate Davis if he had time for a quick interview. Put his hand on my shoulder and told me, no, I'm going to play ping pong right now.
And Nate Davis never returned from that ping pong game.
He's still playing somewhere.
Still is. Thursdays is packed. 2:40 every other week. Jared Payton.
How you doing, sir?
JP, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Mish right there, right?
And then on
how
the
long before
that...
he mentions his pitcher with who is Kelsey Marin against? I don't even know her.
Taylor Swift.
How long before Jared mentioned that he had the pitcher?
It's going to be the first thing.
Yeah,
first
talk.
He'll be in the wedding probably.
I was wondering if he gets invited to the wedding.
He's trying on Twitter, I think.
He should.
Why not? All they can say is no.
That's right. The weeks when Jared isn't on at 2:40. Patrick Manley's going to join us.
Pat obviously was a Bear for a long period of time, a record-setting time. But the level of leadership that he brought in the sense of camaraderie and teammateship, if that's a word, I'm not sure it is.
It's not.
But you know what he meant.
Yeah, no, we knew what Phil Emery meant, but he invented a word. That's how good of a teammate Pat Manley is.
I found a picture of me in Bourbonnais in our old trailer where we used to camp out, and it's me and Phil Emery doing an interview. I gotta send it to you. It's hilarious. It's like, oh man, a lot has changed since then. So that's every other week on Thursdays with Jarrett and Patrick Manley at 2:40. Thursdays are also a Grody day.
Mm. Not a Grody.
Grody.
That's it right there.
That's you.
And Grody's all over this score airwaves. And then Thursdays at 5 has become a happy hour nationally. With us and Dave Wanstead.
5 o'clock. Make sure someone write that down for Alex so he has it, okay?
Wani's going to join us today, too, by the way, at 5 o'clock in person here in studio.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a lot of fun. On Fridays, now of The Athletic, Dan Wiederer joins us.
Take that as you want.
Does it please you? I mean, is that something you want
to do? Doesn't please me, but...
DJ was nonplussed.
No, not at all. And then 4 o'clock, this man right here, Olin Cruz.
They offered me $15 an hour to come in there as like an independent contractor. That is exactly what they did.
That's exactly what they did. Oh, so our lineup is stacked, and we can't wait to really get into it once the games start. But we've got Olin here. We got him for another segment. So when we come back, let's talk about Brian Flores. Let's talk about Dennis Allen, because we haven't spent enough time talking about DA and what he might be able to do with the Bears defense. All of that is next. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show here at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio, brought to you by PNC Bank and your local Ford dealers. Back after this with more Bears conversation next on The Score.